Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us, yes, you, let us exalt his wonderful name together. Truly, I am so excited about what the Lord is doing in and through the life of his people. We ask that God's earnest blessing will be upon you as you're listening in on today. We're going to be talking about the baptism of Christ on today. It's nothing about like just lifting up Jesus. The scripture said, if I will be lifted up above all men, I will draw all men unto above this earth. I will draw all men unto myself. And so as we lift him up and just look again at another aspect of his wonderful life and all that he has done for us as the people of God, we will continue to gain a greater appreciation for all of the sacrifice that God did in and through his own son on behalf of reconciling us back unto himself. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, also verse 13 and through 17, as well as John chapter 1, verse 26 through 33. And so we're going to look at that today, so grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I know you're going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed. And so our scripture reading is three from this line. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verses 13 through 17, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Then Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heaven were open and unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and the lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now we're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 36 to verse 33. And it reads on this line, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is deferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in that Berea beyond Jordan when John was baptizing. Today John sees Jesus coming in to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he could be and be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same came unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3 and verse 15, and it reads on this line, it says, and Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it is becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So far the reading of the scripture on today, and we're going to be talking about our thoughts coming from the fact that Jesus was neither baptized for his own sins, nor was he responsible for our sins, But he perfectly identified with our fallen estate and provided an example for our salvation. So let's take a look at this wonderful example for our salvation and the provision that he made. Now, the waters of Jordan gurgled carelessly around the bend. A gentle breeze fluffed up the tree leaves, and flocks of sparrows sipped across the grassy plain like a tarp let loose in the wind. Now, a crowded, allow preachers, turn from your wicked ways. Change your thinking to follow God's thoughts. Develop a lifestyle that proves your change of heart. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, crowds of people responded to such preaching, providing that then and as now, people want to please God. Now, following that scary-looking preacher into the muddy Jordan, they came up from the watery grave, committed to a new lifestyle. While John continued preaching and teaching in this manner, a new member joined his congregation. Now, walking through the crowds at the end of the baptismal service, the man approached John. Perhaps it seemed out of place or poorly timed. However, John looked at the man and knew that this was no mistake. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He cometh out to his convert, John 1, verse 29. Jesus waved into the water facing John, and John stated, I'm unworthy to be your servant to take off your shoes. Baptize me, John said. No, I need you to baptize me. John declared, why would you come to me for baptism? And then he goes on to say, allow it to be this way now so we can fulfill all righteousness. Now, John consented to this at the statement and plunged the Savior into the dark, swirling river. While Jesus came up out from the water, he stood praying, still dripping wet. Suddenly, the atmosphere ripped open heaven and him, and he could see beyond the time and space. And like a dove, the Spirit came upon him in power, and a voice came from heaven that spoke, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Now, examining the life of Christ is a rewarding pursuit. While we never reach the depths of understanding this man around whom the world turned, we do not search out the Word of God in order to understand it all. We do so to fulfill all righteousness. Knowing about Jesus is not an end in itself. We must know how personally and intimately and know him personally and intimately and practically. Now, Jesus did not have to be baptized. For that matter, he did not have to die on the cross. Jesus did not even have to be born. However, he entered the world to save us. The life of Christ was an example and a sermon lived out for our instruction as well as for our salvation. Now, more than just a future or a feature of history, Jesus Christ is the climax of all human eras, bridging the awesome gap between humankind and God. The Holy Spirit came down upon thousands of people, but in this one man of flesh, he will manifest himself as the Son of God. Now, Jesus became our means to escape the rule of sin and flee into the freedom of righteousness. Before individuals understand their needs of Jesus, however, they need someone like John to awaken them to their wickedness. Humans are content to live with their sin problem, and preaching is necessary to cause them to see their needs of a Savior. Now, let's take a look at the reason for John's ministry in itself. If a person had the beginning of a deadly disease, would that individual want to return to the doctor who rudely said, if you do not change your eating habit, you're going to die young? Or would that person prefer a practitioner who said, don't get yourself down about it? We all have flaws, and I still think that you are a quality person. Although emotionally it might be easier to hear the second opinion, practically everyone wants to know what to change while that there is still hope of survival. John the Baptist was the harsh but practical doctor the people needed. A rough preacher living in the desert, weathering rough burlap. It seemed as if John broke all the modern rules of the church planting. He was not in the prime location. He did not have a popular image. Still, he would come out to him, and he changed the landscape of Jewish history. In his own way, he created brand recognition, and somehow developed a group of followers. Now, in John's ministry, passionate preaching and distinct call to honor rule the day in the world of compromise and hypocrisy. Today, our generation need a person to stand strong as well. John was not hateful, but neither was his wishy-washy thinking. He was not. He did not make people feel better about their sin disease. He helped them to find a cure to come out of sin. And that's the same call that we have as men and women of God, is to help people to come out of situation and circumstances that are not pleasing unto God, empowering them in and through and by the Holy Ghost, by letting them know that there is power, wonder-working power in the name, in the blood, and in that Holy Ghost. There in the Word of God, there is power. Now, the initial revival that took place in Israel, it was a prophet of old, long before the announcement of the coming of this man in the desert. You'll find that over in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and every hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, John was not effective because of his personality, but because God had called him. God called John to prepare the way of the Lord. No one prepares for God in his lifetime unless he first repents. So John became preaching repentance. It is the only way for an individual to receive God. Repentance is brutal, unfashionable. However, to repent of our sin is necessary if we are to receive Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts to receive the Lord by changing our direction and turning from sin to God. A gospel without repentance is a pep talk without a purpose. So repentance is critical for the sinner and even for the child of God. God has given us that ability to repent. It's a gift that's given unto the church, a grace, I should say, that's been given unto the church. Now, identifying the Messiah. On the highway to hell, John was the big green sign saying, exit here. He pointed souls to the correct destination, the righteousness of God in Christ. He began his ministry while still in the womb, kicking his mother to let her know the Messiah had just walked in the door, Luke 1:41-44. Just as abrupt as an adult, he made sure no one missed the importance of the moment when the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant, would appear. Now, the inauguration of the ministry of the Messiah. John not only introduced Jesus to the world, but he was also the prophet who inaugurated the new king. The message John preached is the same one we obey today. Come to Jesus and repent. He clarified how to repent, too, by giving back what was stolen, to stop demanding more money and to give them those that are in need. He also spoke against spiritual pride, and you'll find that over in Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. Now, John preached hellfire and brimstone and warned that this was the work of the Master as well, against all who would reject him. He illustrated his sermon with images of a tree being cut down and thrown into the fire and of grain husks burned with scorching heat, Matthew 3:10-12. After letting people know the plan and the seriousness of the coming one, John baptized him. Now let's look further. The reason for the Spirit descended like a dove and the voice. Now when Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. Further, a voice spoke from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Mark 1:11. These amazing signs from heaven demonstrated to John and to all those present that this man was no ordinary individual. This one indeed was the Son of Man. First, this moment was meaningful to John. Matthew 3:17 records the voice as an announcing to the wilderness preacher, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice confirmed Jesus' identity. However, the voice was not the only sign that identified the Messiah. John also saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove. John 1:32-34. And John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is which baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear witness and record that this is the Son of God." Now, the Spirit descending like a dove served a second confirmation to the baptizer. Jesus was the promised one. Now, the voice from heaven was not only for John to hear, however. Luke records the story a little differently, which revealed the heavenly voice of a meaningful also meaningful to Jesus. Luke 3:22 indicate the voice said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Jesus grew in understanding from a child until he came to full realization of who he was. In his humanity, the Lord accepted some limitations, though as God he could have laid aside every limitation at any moment. The voice from above served to confirm his heavenly identity. Prophetic scripture came to fulfillment in the life of Christ. The Spirit and the voice gave a public declaration of his identity as the hope of all mankind. Now further, the scripture over in Isaiah 42:1-6 states, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the owl shall wait for his law. Thus said God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walketh therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Isaiah 42:1-6. Now, let's look at the reason for the baptism of Jesus. Now, the identity with the Old Testament anointing, like a novel with increasing suspense, God's story slowly unfolded in intensity through humankind's history. Everything he did, everything humanity did, slowly built upon the moment of his revealing of Christ as the Son of God. How privileged we are to be in the moment of God revealing his plans from eternity past. He has made known to us the knowledge of his will, gathering all things in heaven and earth to himself in Christ. You'll find that over in Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. Also, Colossians 1, verses 26 to 27. Throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadowing and glimpse of what was to come next in the story. The tabernacle, the water that flowed from the rock, the manna that fell from heaven's sky, out without meaningless story. Rather, they all fulfill important roles in guiding mankind toward God's intended relationship with believers. The sacrificial lamb, the herbs, the unleavened bread, all pointed to the focus of the universe, which was Jesus Christ. First, let's look at the prophet. At Jesus' baptism, he left us an example we should follow into our own baptism with him, 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 22. He did it as the sinless Savior. We enter baptism as a sinner seeking remission of sin. In part, the concept of baptism carried forward from the foreshadowing of the Old Covenant. Under Moses' law, a man of God had to be washed and cleansed in preparation for spiritual service, Exodus 29 and 4, Leviticus 8 and 6. John would have been such a man if he had carried on his father's work as a priest. Instead of being washed and conforming to the tradition in the temple, however, John began baptizing others and preparing the way for them, for all who could be priests unto God regardless of the ancestry. The purpose of water baptism had nothing to do with removing bacteria or grime, but it served as a mark, a change, and a fresh start. The concept of cleansing from impurity was probably much of the idea behind the baptism that the rabbis began practicing even before the time of John. Now, John's baptism was far different from the baptism practiced by other Jewish leaders in that he preached baptism for the remission of sins, something unheard of in Judaism. Only a slain animal served as the atonement for sin. Of course, the fulfillment of sin being washed away came only through John's baptism because it looked forward to the Lamb of God. No rabbi, Jewish rabbi, would have preached baptism as being effective like a sacrifice for sin. In Jesus, water baptism for remission of sin is effective. It is not the water itself, however, that cleanses a person from sin. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ washes away sin through the sacrifices of the Lamb slain of God on the cross. Baptism applies the cleansing agent by faith. Jesus himself made it clear that water and washing in and of itself had no power. Now, let's look at number two, as the priest. When initiating a priest, the high priest would pour specially prepared olive oil over his head, Exodus 29 and 7, Leviticus 8 and 12. For Jesus to become our high priest, he needed more than just earthly olive oil. He needed more than symbolism. At his baptism, Jesus received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, symbolizing when he descended like a dove coming down from on high, Matthew 3:16. This pure saturation of the Spirit without measure empowered him for his years of ministry. Today, we do not depend on oil for power, but we depend on the Spirit of God. Now, when a high priest taken from among us who feels for us yet is without sin, now, taken from among us the lowest, he has been exalted to the highest place in the entire universe. We rise to share his victory when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, thirdly, let's look at the king. Jesus is more than just a prophet who spoke for God or a priest who spoke to God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In Israel, a king coordination included anointing with oil. This would mark him as God's chosen one to lead the country. David's anointing occurred in a quiet, out of the way place, and it was done in secret. Jesus' anointing occurred front and center in Israel. Although no one at the time recognized the importance of that moment of Jesus' anointing, one day every knee will bow and confess Jesus as Lord and King over all rulers. Now, identifying with the human race, Jesus is not amazing just because of the dramatic moments of his life. What makes him more amazing to us, not so easily wooed human, is his reckless and regardless love that he has for us, that agape love, that undying love that he had for us. He emptied himself of his glory that he would join us in death, Philippians 2 and 8. This endless love, not only did he take on death, but he died the death of the guilty and took the blame for the sin of many, Isaiah 53 and 12. To thank him for such generosity, the people he died for overlooked him or plainly rejected him. And you'll see that over in John 1 and 11 and Isaiah 53 and 3. More than just becoming common, he became sin for us though he had knew and never sinned himself, and he knew no sin. Now, if Jesus would identify with us in our sin, why would he not identify also with us in the baptism intended for spiritual washing away those sins? He no more needed baptism than he needed to go to the cross. He did both out of love for us and to be with us. By joining us in our guiltiness, we can join him in his righteousness. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, we his people. Oh, my God. Let's look further. Let's look at how he's being identified also in another aspect here. Identified him with the message of John. Now, writing from the Quran, community states values in keeping with the mission of both John and Jesus, this group of people set themselves apart for the rest of society to develop in holiness and purity. Quran community hope to shine the light of holiness in the darkness of their day. They not only hope to turn society, but anyway, let us move further in things as looking at what God and John's parents, perhaps when John's parents died while he was still young, he went on to dwell in the group. Although he was isolated in the desert, God later called him to interact with society and to turn many towards righteousness. John may have hoped to be the one whom God would anoint, just as every young woman in Israel may have hoped to give birth to the Messiah, so every young man probably hoped to become the anointed one. However, the Lord informed the wilderness preacher, which was the prophet, that he was not the chosen one, but that he would prepare the way for him. Now, Jesus came, and he submitted himself to come through the ministry of John, fulfilling not only prophecy, also the will of God. Now, John did not preach water baptism. He preached God's plan. He made it clear that water alone could not cleanse the person, but that they would have to be baptized with fire and the fire of the Holy Ghost. He came only to prepare the way for the one who would bring the baptism from above. Baptism in water is the physical, earthly reflection of the spiritual baptism that came with the Holy Spirit from above, when we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. In addition to Jesus' water baptism by John, he was anointed by the Spirit, which descended upon him like a dove. And while we often think of water baptism as a distinction from the spirit baptism, they are really basically two realities that are one baptism. You need both, the water baptism in the name of Jesus as well as the spirit baptism, being filled with the Holy Ghost. To identify with Jesus, we must do not just go down in water with him, we must come up receiving the Holy Spirit, which is the evidence initially by speaking with other tongues. The spirit baptism also may precede water baptism. Water baptism is not how we can earn salvation, but how we identify with Christ. By repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, we join Christ in his death and burial. By receiving his spirit, we join him in the resurrection life. We take on all blessing and suffering of Christ, both joy and rejection. We identify with his authority and enjoy acceptance as a child of God. Day by day, we draw on his experience in this life to overcome our old ways. Jesus entered the water to fulfill all righteousness. We enter the water of baptism for the remission of sin as well in things, the remission of sin and to be made complete with his righteousness. However, baptism should not end our quest for growing in character. It is a person, if a person is hungry, he seeks something to fill the emptiness of his stomach. If one hunger and thirst for righteousness, however, he will continue to seek Christ and grow in him. This life, the life in Christ, involved a continual feast on the righteousness, on his righteousness as we grow up in him and learn of his nature. Wow, what a wonderful lesson as we have learned on today about the baptism of Christ. Jesus was neither baptized for his own sins, nor was he responsible for our sins. He perfectly identified with our fallen estate and provided a perfect example for our salvation and a way for us to escape. What manner of love has this? I tell you, we thank God for his love. We thank God for all that he's done and doing for the children and the people of God as never before. Let us not lightly esteem that which Jesus has done for us. Don't lightly esteem the baptismal in his name, nor either the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is our blessing. That is the plan of salvation, our way of escape through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. I'm so glad that you joined us on today, and I pray that this lesson gave you clarity about the baptism of Christ. And listen to it again so it can get down in your heart and spirit. Go back to the scriptures that we shared and look at those scriptures so that you can have a greater understanding as well at what the word of the Lord has said unto us on today. And most of all, just remember the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God that he gave his only begotten Son. And let us, as the people of God, highly esteem that which he has done and the provisions that he had made for us as his people. Gracious Father, we thank you for this lesson on today. We ask that you continue to bless we, your people, dear God. Continue to give us understanding, revelating our mind, revelating our heart and soul. Father, we recognize that we can do nothing in and of ourselves. You are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we bless your name today, and we give you glory and honor to the glory of our Father, which is in heaven. Bless our hearers on today, those that will listen even on at this moment. We pray a special blessing upon your life and your children and your children's children's lives on this glorious day. Remember, as I always would say, that if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. I pray that there will be a no-sorrow blessing that will come to your house and your family on this day. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. Please join me at go to my webpage over at www.drhelenorm.com. And check out our webpage and things as well as our church webpage is at www.ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com. Take a look at that. I know you'll be tremendously blessed. God bless you. Bye-bye.